I greet you, radio friends, in the name of Jesus Christ. Today I want to speak on walking with the resurrected Jesus. Walking with the resurrected Jesus. And our text is taken from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. It's a long passage from 13 to 35, and then verse 44 to verse 49. But in the interest of time, I want to read just a short section of it. As we go on in our discussion, we will read here and there to get the context. I want to read now from verse 28, Luke 24. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he, that's Jesus, indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." For those of you who are familiar with hymns, this is what informs that popular hymn, "Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide, when other helpers fail and comfort flee. Help of the helpless, oh, abide with me." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Verse 31, then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road? And while he opened the scriptures to us." Let's stop there. Father, we come again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we search the scriptures today, Father, I'm praying that all my friends in Radio Land will be touched and touched positively in the various areas of their needs. Grant this, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text is one of about 12 post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. It is the story of two disciples of Jesus, according to the text, who were traveling from Jerusalem to Emmaus. We find two disappointed and demoralized disciples of Jesus. Emmaus is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were not among the 12. If you look at verse 33, we didn't read as far as that. So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together. So they found the 11. So these two disciples were not part of the 12. Jesus appeared to them incognito. He appeared to them unrecognized. And he asked them what they were talking about. In verses 15 to 17, they said, "So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained." That's why I said he appeared incognito. "Their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, 'What kind of conversation is that which you have with one another as you walked and are sad?'" Their response shows that they were indeed demoralized, disappointed, and dejected. In verse 18, they said, "Then one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and you have not known the things which happened there these days?'" Over the weekend. "And he said to them, 'What things?'" Jesus pretended that he didn't know anything, and yet it was about him. "So they said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and be crucified. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened.'" You see their disappointment? see the reason why they were demoralized. We were hoping that he was the one who would redeem Israel. But now our hopes are dashed. In verse 32, these two disciples said to one another, after Jesus vanished, remember that at the place we read, Jesus pretended as if he was going to continue on, and they constrained him to spend the night with them because it was already getting late, and he agreed, and he was manifested to them as he prayed before the meal. For those of you who use the prayer before the meal as just a perfunctory thing, in this case, it was during the prayer before a meal that Jesus was revealed or manifested to them. Something can happen to you too anytime you take prayer seriously, whether over a meal or early in the morning or before you go to bed. So Jesus was revealed to them and he vanished. Then in verse 32, they said, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? And that is what you get when you walk with the resurrected Jesus. Did not our hearts burn? Burning is associated with fire. A heart that burns is a heart that is set on fire, not literal fire. Jesus used this metaphor, fire and burning, to describe John the Baptizer because of the kind of life he lived before God and before the people of Israel. In John chapter 5, verse 35, Jesus, talking about John the Baptizer, some call it John the Baptist, he was the burning and shining lamp, Jesus said, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. So you see that there is no shining without burning. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let your light so shine. There is no shining without burning. If your heart is not set on fire for God, you will not shine. You will not shine before men. So, my radio friends, you cannot shine until you burn. You cannot shine until your heart is set on fire for God. It is sad to note that some people are not interested in being set on fire by God, but they are interested in putting out any fire they see burning in others. They do so by thrashing them with their tongues. They do so by interpreting their motives in a most uncharitable manner. They remind me of Eliab, David's oldest brother. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 28, Eliab said to David, his younger brother, when he was asking questions about what to do with the menace called Goliath. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. He said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. You see here, he was interpreting David's motive in a very uncharitable manner. How can you say that you know the motive of anybody? Nobody knows anybody's motive except God. And radio friend, please make sure that your motive always is clean and pure in the sight of God, not ulterior motive. Because anything you do for God or in the name of God that has wrong motive, that has bad motive, that has selfish motive, is not acceptable in his sight. And it is at the level of motive that God judges our lives. Israel would have suffered irreparable loss that day if David had listened to the fire quencher of his day, the Eliab in his family. The victory would have gone to the enemies of Israel instead. The hearts of the two disciples of Jesus burned within them. What does that mean for the heart to burn? When they said, "Did not our hearts burn?" What did they mean? It means that their hearts glowed. Their hearts were set on fire. Their hearts were greatly moved. Their hearts were warmed towards God and things concerning God. But what produced the burning? What set their hearts aglow? That we will look at when we return same time next week. Radio friend, I want to pray for you that God will visit you. The resurrected Jesus will visit you. Whatever need that may be in your life, I commit those into his hands now as you believe with me. Radio friend, believe with me that the resurrected Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, believe that he will touch you at that point of your need as you mention that need to him now. Let it be so. Let it be so, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.